Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
Hey, remember how 20 years ago I switched to Progressive? Well, now it's the future, and I used all those savings to buy this new hologram phone. Because, you know, it's the future, and everything is holograms now.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
International military tribunals for Nazi war criminals and Nuremberg 2.0 will begin in the coming days. In Mariupol, Ukraine, massive increase in deaths following COVID vax confirmed by major insurance report as the wheels fall off the COVID hoax. How our elections were federalized behind our backs by Obama on January 6th, 2017. And more coming up on Forbidden News. Welcome to Forbidden News. I'm your host, Alexandra Bruce. First, let's follow up on some of our stories from last week. Biden lied. The order for the FBI raid came directly from the White House, according to documents from the National Archivist sent to Trump's lawyer, obtained by journalist John Solomon. Watch.
The Biden White House is at the ignition point of this investigation. And it's ironic because if you remember back in 2019 and 2020, it was the Biden Democrats that were complaining about efforts to start an investigation of Hunter Biden. Now they're caught doing the same thing, trying to push an investigation of their political rival, the opposition leader of the party, likely to face him in 2024.
All right. So you have this document in particular that actually proves your point. Tell us what's in the document.
Yeah, this is a letter from the acting National Archivist of America to President Trump's lawyer on around May 10th. And in it lays out the entire role of the Biden White House. The general counsel's office was involved. It authorized the release of documents to the FBI. That's what starts the criminal probe. It then authorizes telling the Trump attorneys they will not be able to use executive privilege, and also telling the FBI, you can take these records without an executive privilege fight. Go use them. So they not only start the ignition point, they facilitate it by taking away one of the president's potential defenses.
Biden White House mouthpiece Karine Jean-Pierre continually said that Joe Biden had no knowledge whatsoever of the raid and that he only learned about it from media reports. And now we know that was a lie. Incidentally, the FBI knew exactly what was in those boxes, as 2 months prior in June, the Bureau had been given full access to the documents. In fact, Trump stopped by to say hello to the agents while they were there. Trump has now a solid case of a violation of his Fourth Amendment constitutional rights in that raid. And last Monday, he filed a motion in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida to assert those rights regarding the, quote, unnecessary, unwarranted, and un-American break-in by dozens of FBI agents and others of my home, Mar-a-Lago, in Palm Beach, Florida, unquote. So, the magistrate judge, Bruce Reinhart, who had approved of this FBI raid just 6 weeks prior, recused himself from presiding over Trump's RICO case against Hillary Clinton, the DNC, Peter Strzok, and various members of the FBI, DOJ, etc., raising questions about Reinhart's impartiality in approving the raid. Now, Trump's lawsuit accuses them of conspiring to topple his presidency. And one might ask, what was Reinhart's conflict of interest forcing him to recuse? And don't forget that 10 years ago, Reinhart took leave of absence from his real job to represent several Jeffrey Epstein employees. But yesterday, he viewed the DOJ's redacted version of the Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit, and he ordered them to release that version by noon today, which they did. And legal blogger Technofog weighed in on the released documents earlier today, and he concluded that the raid was essentially a nothing burger, and that it boiled down to, quote, the politics of the leadership of the National Archives, the DOJ, and the FBI, all of whom are more than willing to target a former president because he is also a presidential candidate. And of course, that's something that hasn't happened in our lifetimes, that we have a one-term president who may run again. So last week, I told you about the shelling of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, located in southeastern Ukraine, which has been under the control of the Russian armed forces since last March. The plant has sustained a number of shelling attacks from the Ukrainians since mid-July. And Truth Social user Clandestine reports that continued shelling from the Ukrainian armed forces on the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant resulted in fires disconnecting the plant from the Ukrainian power grid multiple times, causing concerns of cooling systems failing, like we saw with Fukushima, right? Which would result in the core overheating in a nuclear catastrophe that will cripple Eurasia and kill tens of thousands of civilians. He said Russia has since restored power to the grid and the core is stable, but Russia warns that if the Ukrainian forces don't stop shelling the plant, there will be nothing Russia can do to stop the cooling systems from failing. Russian General Kirillov has accused Ukraine and their U.S. handlers of trying to create a Chernobyl-like nuclear event and blame it on Russia. In other words, the deep state is attempting to initiate a nuclear false flag. Kirillov stated that, quote, the ultimate goal of the provocation is to create an exclusion zone of up to 30 kilometers to bring international forces and foreign observers to Zaporizhia territory and to accuse the Russian armed forces of nuclear terrorism. And this has only been met with silence from the U.S. while Ukrainians continue to get slaughtered in order to cover up the deep state's crimes against humanity. Speaking of which, the Russians are planning international military tribunals for Nazi war criminals, a Nuremberg 2.0, to begin in the coming days in Mariupol, Ukraine. And remember who sits atop Russia's most wanted list for crimes against humanity. This is not wishful thinking, hopium, or bias. These are the direct allegations from the Russian military. They want to try Obama, Biden, Clinton, Soros, the DNC, the CDC, the CIA, the State Department, Pfizer, Moderna, and everyone else that we've been screaming bloody murder about for the past few years. Clandestine notes that mainstream conservatives and white hat characters, including Trump, refuse to address the DNC biological network in Ukraine, and that Russia have been providing tangible evidence and a paper trail confirming the DNC slash globalist nefarious biological activity. Russia is actively destroying the DNC globalist biological facilities responsible for creating the virus that enabled voter fraud. The Russian military have directly accused Obama, Biden, Clinton, and Soros of facilitating a biological weapons network in Ukraine and directly accused them of doing so with the intention of winning elections. Clandestine claims that Putin is vehemently opposed to the World Economic Forum, despite having been a young global leader in the past. He's opposed to the, quote, liberal globalists, the US DNC, and he's listed Obama, Biden, Clinton, and Soros by name as the main ideologues behind the biolog labs in Ukraine, promising international military tribunals in Ukraine for crimes against humanity by, quote, liberal globalists. He says Russia is making every Anon's dreams come true and that illogical Russia phobia has to stop. So, coming up, the wheels are falling off the COVID hoax. Anthony Fauci resigns, the CDC decides to overhaul, and Deborah Birx admits that she never thought the vax would work after a survey of 80% of the group life insurance industry in the U.S. confirms the findings of Edward Dowd that there was a 100% spike in excess deaths in those aged between 35 and 44 in the third quarter of 2021. You don't want to miss this. Stay there.
This is Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America.
Former BlackRock securities analyst Edward Dowd says the Society of Actuary Institute, that's SOA, has published a report on group life insurance excess mortality. A survey of 80% of the group life industry in the U.S. that confirms his findings from last February that in Q3 of 2021, there was an alarming spike in working age excess deaths. In ages 35 to 44, it was 100% over normal, i.e. double for that quarter. This rate of excess deaths has remained over 40% on average among all working age adults who were forced to take the vax in order to stay employed. During Q1 and Q2 of 2022, and around 20% above average across all age groups, including people who don't work and don't, but do have life insurance. So he says that the society, you know, the SOA's numbers corroborate his earlier numbers that 61,000 millennials were killed by the vax through the third quarter of 2021, or roughly the same number of young American soldiers killed throughout the entire Vietnam War. Watch.
So bottom line, the Society of Actuaries, now they're not going to come to the same conclusions that you and I have come to, and that's fine. But the numbers are the numbers. We said on your show in February, March of this year that the millennials experienced a rise of 84% excess mortality into the mandate quarter, Q3. That represented over the course of March of 2021 through Feb of 2022, 61,000 millennials, which represents basically a Vietnam War for the millennial age group, silent war. Then last week, the Society of Actuaries put out in Table 5.7 the excess mortality from their revenues. 80% of the revenues were represented in this report, and there it is, basically confirming what we said, 78% and 100%. We came up with 84%, so that's that. The numbers are the numbers. We've been vindicated. We're right.
But so, for folks that aren't an expert like you, lay out what those numbers mean.
So basically, 100 is normal death rate. In the Q3, 78% more people died, more claims happened in the insurance industry for the ages 25 to 34, and 100% between 35 and 44. We analyzed 25 to 44. We came up with 84%. So 84% excess mortality in the claims of group life insurance companies. And then
it's a silent war that's not being reported by the legacy media. Ed Dowd suspects that the insurance industry reports are the reason why the CDC reversed course on its COVID guidance, which are nevertheless being maintained by certain corrupt agencies and districts, such as the Pentagon and Philadelphia, and more, and others. Ed also thinks the insurance industry reports are why the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, last week announced a total reorganization of that lumbering agency, although she is, of course, asking for more money and more control without admitting that the agency has been actively engaged in genocide. So we're not sure how this overhaul is going to work, you know. Anyway, so we see that also Anthony Fauci resigned and the wheels coming off the fake pandemic. But if you recall, in the SPARS document, a report published by Johns Hopkins in 2017 about a communications drill for a vaccine that, quote, accidentally causes mad cow prion disease, it is the politicians, not Big Pharma, who are blamed for speeding up the release of the vaccines without proper testing and trials, causing millions of cases of brain damage starting 6 months to a year after the injection. Similar to Crimson Contagion and Event 201, the SPARS report is the actual battle plan for a slow-kill genocidal attack on the populace, aspects of which have already unfolded like clockwork. The SPARS report is a blueprint of what we've been living through and of what we can expect next. Currently, we are 2 years into this three-year drill. The collapse of trust in government and institutions is intentional, and the plan is to cause a global civil war and to centralize all global medical authority within the UN with a multi-billion dollar Marshall Fund to enact total medical tyranny as per the WHO's 2005 international health regulations, which we've talked about a lot on this network, and which are supposed to be legally binding on all 196 UN member countries. Ed's predictions are very similar to what's in the SPARS document, but he adds that the goal, in his opinion, is a global adoption of the central bank digital currency and the implementation of a Chinese-style social credit score system. Ed sees Schwab, Fauci, and Gates as these laughable bond villains who will be jailed while the world is rocked by economic collapse and war. And then he says reasonable and attractive leaders will appear with a solution that looks great because it's not as tyrannical as the direction that these goons had been taking us. But it will still be much more tyrannical than the old normal pre-March 2020. Now, others like Cliff High believe that we will defeat the globalists and sail into a golden age after a drawn out and protracted 18-year fight. So in another blockbuster interview conducted by Alex Jones this week, Steve Kirsch joined InfoWars to discuss how the COVID hoax is falling apart amid Fauci's announcement of his resignation from NIAID. Last week, Steve made broadcasting history when he told Fox News' Brian Kilmeade that, quote, what I found was that hundreds of thousands of Americans have been killed by this vaccine and millions have been injured. Watch.
Steve Kirsch is an entrepreneur, self-made success story, and joins us now to explain his reasoning. Steve, when did the Democratic Party start going south with you?
Well, when they violated my trust, Brian. You know, they told the agencies, the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, said that these vaccines were safe and effective. And when I started seeing my friends die and be injured, and I started looking at the data, there was no question that this vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine ever created by man. It is 1,000 times more deadly than the smallpox vaccine, and that's too unsafe for people to use. And I could not get even a single minute in front of any Democratic congressman. The best I got was that Ro Khanna gave me to a staff member who took 2 months to get back to me. And when I asked if she had read what I had sent her, she said, no, it disagreed with the CDC, so it's not right. And so I didn't really read it.
So
that's as far as I ever got.
But you didn't stop there. You did your own research. What did you find? What did you find was effective? And what was the reaction when you put it out there?
Well, what I found was that hundreds of thousands of Americans have been killed by this vaccine, and millions have been injured. And, you know, there clearly you are more likely to be injured or dead from the vaccine than if you were unvaccinated. So what they're saying and what the reality is completely opposite. There's a conservative radio show commentator, his name is Wayne Root. He had a wedding 8 months ago, and he had about half conservatives half of his, they're all pretty much conservatives, okay? But half were vaccinated and half were not vaccinated. And he found that of the 100 people that were vaccinated, he had 26 people who were seriously injured and he had 7 people who died. And in the unvaccinated group, he had 0 and 0.
So, Steve, we don't
know. That is statistically impossible,
right?
If the vaccines are safe.
Right. So we can't verify those numbers. These are numbers that you have. But in turn, the Democrats who you funded exceedingly won't even return.
Yours truly, Pastor Ernie Sanders, will be, Lord's willing, at the Geauga County Fair here this Wednesday, August 31st. I will be out there, and the people that you hear with me on this radio program, Ron Ritz and Randy Gay and others, and even Little Lisa, will be working the fair for 6 days. We will be out there, and that's at the Great Geauga County Fair, the oldest fair in Ohio, and is located right there at the Burton Fairgrounds. The Burton Fairgrounds, right there in Burton, Ohio. Burton's not very big, so folks, if you follow 87 to the circle and go around it, you're there at the Burton Fairgrounds. It's the Great Geauga County Fair, and I'll be out there in the afternoon, Lord's willing. Now, also, this coming Saturday, the Heritage Club of Northeast Ohio has the second annual Judeo-Christian Patriot Rally at Veterans Park in Painesville. And it starts at 11 and goes to 3 p.m. And there'll be food, beverages, concessions, government officials will be speaking. And I, Lord's willing, I will be out there speaking with other pastors too. And there's going to be Christian Patriot music. And they say, bring your own lawn chair. Bring your own lawn chair. And so for more information, call Hal Warner at 440-223-2577. That's Hal Warner at 440-223-2577. Now we're going to take you to another clip here. And well, listen to this, because, folks, we're going to keep fighting with everything we have to bring you what the fake news media, what the collective does not want you to know. Take it away.
Boris Epstein. Boris, with all the hoopla, the system, the Pacer system went down. The entire globe was sitting there when we went off the air this morning at 12 noon for the magistrate. If you had asked the partisans at the war room to do something that would humiliate Merrick Garland and the institution, the Justice Department, the FBI, if you had come to us a week ago and said, look, we really want to make these guys look like fools, that's the redaction we would have put out. It's like, I don't even know why the magistrate even put this thing out, particularly on the big speech he gave on Monday. This was, for this nation, in the eyes of the world, this is a humiliating embarrassment for the Department of Justice, Boris Epstein.
Steve, no doubt about it. Honor to be here. Steve, they redacted the motion to redact. They wouldn't even let the American people know why they were asking for the redact. And then they released this thing that's 38 pages, and, you know, it's got black ink all over the place. The key point is this. The key point is that Merrick Garland out there talked about, transparency. We're going to treat this case just like any other. Here's the bottom line. President Trump had full compliance with the applicable act, which is the Presidential Records Act, and all other laws, rules, and regulations. President Trump was in full cooperation with all applicable authorities and agencies. And this was a completely unwarranted, unnecessary, and unlawful raid. And everyone knows it, including Merrick Garland. And this redacted affidavit that put forward only underscores that. This affidavit from a Washington, D.C. area FBI agent said, well, based on my training, I think there were some documents there that somehow implicated defense, or maybe, there were documents which are presidential records, which maybe weren't stored the way they should be, okay? That's literally the explanation they're trying to put out there. And you better believe anything that's not redacted, everything that is redacted is what's not helpful to the DOJ. What they're putting out there, what they left outside those black boxes, is the only things they can find that are somehow helpful to them. They released this letter from President Trump's counsel, Evan Corcoran, which he had sent in late May, which lays out that the president's absolute authority to declassify. It laid out that there's absolutely no criminality. And it laid out that, hey, if you go before a judge, DOJ, make sure you present all exculpatory evidence, which would be all the cooperation. And in that redacted affidavit, do we see any reference to the overwhelming cooperation between President Trump and the applicable agency? We didn't see the quote of President Trump saying, hey, if you need anything else after the June 3rd meeting, let us know. We're here to help. That's not in there. What the DOJ laid bare today is that they have absolutely no leg to stand on. And they knew it when making this affidavit. Judge Reinhart should have never signed that warrant. They should have never allowed him to circumvent the Presidential Records Act by taking some of the clauses of the PRA, the act put in place in 1978, and then bolting onto it and enforcement mechanism from other statutes which don't even apply to the president. This is a contrived Frankenstein of a political weaponization of law enforcement, the kind that we've never seen in this country before. They tried to go in and break into the president's home and get away with it. And they are failing miserably at doing so. So where do we stand right now? There'll be filings by end of the day with the district court judge, Judge Cantor, on the items she requested further information on. And from then on, you better expect and you better believe that President Trump and his team will continue making the vital point that A, he's been in full compliance and cooperation with all applicable statutes, that B, this raid was unlawful and unconstitutional, and C, all property taken was done so wrongfully because it was pursuant to a wrongful, overbroad, unconstitutional warrant. You've got Fourth Amendment violations, you've got violations of the Presidential Records Act itself, and you've got standard criminal procedure violations up to the level that really we've never seen before.
I want to hold on for a second. I'm going to bring back in a minute, but I have to have you answer this. You laid out something yesterday on the show that I think was very important for the Justice Department to hear, and particularly for the magistrate. You said tomorrow is going to be very important for the magistrate, Reinhart, to show he was not duped, fooled, or forced to do this. You laid out three: duped, fooled, or forced to do this. And that's what's humiliating about this today. This is why it's a black mark. Those redactions are a black mark on the Justice Department. You cannot tell. They don't ever even let you see any evidence that the magistrate had a full story. And that can't be. How can that be confidentially be kept from the American people? He actually said last week or beginning of this week, this was unprecedented. It was incumbent upon the magistrate to show exactly what you said yesterday. He had to show he was not duped, he was not fooled, or he's not forced. And the American people, as we sit here tonight, 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time, that question is hanging out there in the balance because, quite frankly, it looks like they're trying to cover up that part of it, Boris Epstein.
No doubt. They covered up, again, not just the affidavit. They covered up the application for the redaction. Their motion to redact is redacted. So the DOJ is here covering their own steps. And also, let's be honest, they're covering the information that Judge Reinhart had before he signed that unlawful warrant. So right now, out of those three, duped, fooled, or forced, it appears that it was either fooled or forced because they laid out the information with Reinhart and we see a part of it. And from everything we see, no reasonable, credible judge would have looked and said, okay, well, here you're saying that either it's the information that may implicate defense or it's Presidential Records Act, and then find probable cause. So right now, it seems that either the judge just doesn't understand the application of the statute, right, which is the Presidential Records Act, which applies to ... the president, or he doesn't understand that the others don't apply to the president. Or he does understand all that, and the DOJ rolled in there heavy and said, hey, you're a magistrate judge in Florida. You better do this right now. You better do this right now. Or it was his own bias that forced him to do it.
Boris, I don't know how to say this, but let me, the War Room posse, the audience, the vanguard, the cadres were so furious on the day of the 8th. And I got to tell you, I think what Jack Posobiec said, defilement. I've been calling it a ransacking, but I think it's a defilement. And they did it on purpose to say, hey, it's a flex. But I got to tell you, I think that they've gone up in far as anger and just disgust 10 levels about this charade today where the DOJ is going to do it, and the FBI is going to do it, and the White House is going to do it. And then when they're ordered by a court to release it, they redact everything that comes out. It's obviously a massive cover-up that's going to make it's going to dwarf Watergate. It's going to dwarf Watergate because now you have a national security state that's turned itself not simply on the American people, but a president of the United States. But we are rapidly going into banana republic territory.
No doubt.
The question the audience has is President Trump, with that great team he's pulling around him, going to go on offense?
No doubt about it. The president's already on offense. First, I'm sure everyone saw the post he had as soon as this, redacted small part of the affidavit came out. No nuclear. Redacted without recognition. And vitally, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, followed every applicable law, rule, and regulation. President Trump was on offense. Tonight you're going to see filings. Those will be very specific to what the judge asked. But keep in mind, on Monday, President Trump laid out chapter and verse not just how wrongful this warrant was, but the fact that there needs to be a special master to go through the documents, the review by the DOJ has to stop, and all the documents, all the property wrongfully taken has to be returned to President Trump. And you're going to see more of that in the coming weeks. Merrick Garland went out there when he embarrassed himself for those 3.5 minutes and promised the American people transparency. What have we gotten? We have gotten a manipulation of the justice system. We've gotten this Frankenstein of a redacted, again, beyond recognition, not just affidavit, but application for an affidavit. But let's go back out 30,000 feet. This was a completely unnecessary, unlawful, unwarranted, unconstitutional raid. Why? Because all they had to do was ask. And we're talking about the Presidential Records Act, which has literally no enforcement mechanism. And the parts you can see in the affidavit make it crystal clear that they tried to take the PRA, the Presidential Records Act, and bolt onto it an enforcement mechanism, which simply is impossible in our legal justice system. You could maybe do that in you know, tyrannical countries. You could do it in authoritarian countries. You could do it in other countries. But here we have laws, we have statutes, and we're supposed to be following them. President Trump did. The DOJ, the feckless Biden White House, and weaponized law enforcement have not. President Trump is going to continue to stand for the American people, to stand for the Constitution, and fight against this politicization and weaponization of law enforcement. And today is another great day. Today's a day where we went into this morning, and, you know, it was unknown what's going to be in the affidavit. Hey, maybe the DOJ had actually something that they could show, and they have shown one thing. They have shown they don't have a leg to stand on, and when they broke in, when they raided iconic Mar-a-Lago, they knew it. They knew they didn't have a leg to stand on. That's why they asked for the security cameras to be turned off. That's why they made the lawyers wait outside, and they tried to do this in a hush-hush way, just like a break-in. Well, they failed. They failed because President Trump has called them out on it. He hasn't taken one inch back. He hasn't stepped back at all. Instead, he continues to push forward, continues to lead the American people. And while Joe Biden is flailing and failing, President Trump is standing for American greatness and will continue to do so.
But the questions haven't been answered. Was the magistrate duped? In other words, was he duped? Was he fooled? Or was he forced? And we still don't have that today. We don't know what we don't have that. You just mentioned, and when I say on offense, don't get me wrong, we love truth. We love the president's proclamations, and he lays out the case better than anybody. But I'm talking things like he's got the tapes. He can go on offense here. I think the nation, this Justice Department is so corrupt. We have never seen anything like this. And on the world stage, I can tell you, I was talking to people all day today. They are shocked that this could happen in the United States. This is what happens in third world countries. Do you get a sense that we're going to see even more offense by the president, including releasing the videotapes of these guys? What Jack Posobiec said, this was a defilement. This was a ransacking. This was not even a raid. It was a defilement. It was a ransacking, and they did this on purpose. This is a pre-coup, and what they want to do is show MAGA that they're in charge, and that no matter what happens this November, no matter what happens on November 8th, they're in charge, and they're going to play by their rules, and that rule is not the rule of law. Boris Epstein.
Steve, I will tell you, I will tell the audience, the posse, and the MAGA movement that President Trump is going to be on offense in exactly the way that he needs to be to combat this weaponization of law enforcement, and in a way that continues his absolutely refutable leadership over the MAGA movement, the Republican Party, and the United States of America. In terms of the tapes, you said it. He reserves the right to do with those videotapes as he and his legal team decide. And there's absolutely no doubt that when they went in, there's a reason, right? There's a reason that DOJ law enforcement asked for for the security cameras to be turned off. What's that reason? There's no conspiracies. There's no coincidences, right? Were they trying to do something untoward? We'll never know, but it's definitely a very questionable and suspect ask. And what's even more suspect is redacting not just the affidavit, but the application for redaction.
The
DOJ is covering its tracks.
It's a joke.
President Trump is on the offense.
It's a joke.
And the DOJ is on their back foot in a huge way.
The DOJ should have nothing. They should have been able to come forward. They should have been able to come forward.
And sure, here's the probable cause.
Why? With the fight over the librarians, all the stuff on the records and the human intel and all this, why did you take his diplomatic passport? Why did you go into other areas had nothing to do with documents? Why did you go through all Mar-a-Lago? But answer the question. He's the president of the United States. Why did you take, they had to call back to D.C.? Who authorized that? Who authorized? Because in taking the passport, it shows you're on a fishing expedition. Everything you put in there is a lie and spin. And if those guys, and they put it down now to the FBI and the Justice Department, everybody in that chain of command, you're going to be investigated. You're going to be litigated and you're going to be incarcerated. We're not going to stop till you're in prison. We're not going. MAGA is not going to allow this country to devolve into a banana republic like you want it to be. And today shows you how gutless you are, what cowards you are, and how you think you're going to hide behind the New York Times. And the New York Times comes an editorial, I'll be criminally prosecuted. No, you New York Times are going to be criminally prosecuted. We're going to play smash mouth hardball. We are absolutely sick and tired of this. We're going to run the tables on November 8th. And then in a new Congress, we're going to cut all the money. And then we're going to start having the investigation. This is an outrage to this nation on the global stage. And if you had one leg to stand on, you would have put forward, you would not have redacted three quarters of this thing today. You're an absolute disgusting. You've humiliated this nation. You've humiliated every generation of patriots that fought for the rule of law. And I got to tell you, everybody in the FBI, I don't want to hear anymore. They got good soldiers at the foot. You must come forward in the DOJ, in the FBI, and you must be whistleblowers today. I don't want to hear this thing, oh, it's just at the top. It's not at the top. It's systemic throughout the whole place. The good people got a chance to come forward, and they should be coming forward right now on this debacle and embarrassment of what happened, the defilement and the ransacking of Mar-a-Lago. Boris, what's your social media, sir?
Steve, agree with you 100%. Here's what else I'll say. That our country has a rule of law, and it's a rule of law that's been established over centuries. And a huge part of that rule of law is to keep law enforcement and politics separate. The Democrats now for decades have conflated the two. And this is the most disgusting, un-American, unpatriotic, unconstitutional example that we have ever had. And you better believe that in these 3 weeks, and James Comer said this is the biggest story since 9/11, and outside of President Trump getting elected in 2016, that's probably true. The reason the story continues to be front page news, top headline news, is because the American people know that what was done was wrong, and they know that President Trump is the only force standing between us and total anarchy, between us and banana republic, between us and becoming Venezuela. And we've got to continue coalescing behind President Trump and fighting against this disgusting, un-American weaponization of law enforcement. My socials are BorisCP.com, hot on BorisCP, hot on Getter at BorisCP, hot on Twitter at BorisCP, hot on Truth Social at Boris, hottest on the gram, Boris_Epstein. Stay strong. God bless all offense and Shabbat Shalom.
All righty, we are back. Are we back? Okay, we're back.
We're
on. All righty, very good. The water is brown. There is feces in the floor. Ashley Babbitt's mother and dozens of patriots hold a rally outside D.C. Gulag, explaining why they have been protesting and praying outside the jail for a month. An estimated 600 men and women have been apprehended by the fascist bullies, investigators for protesting, that's the FBI, protesting the stolen election on Capitol Hill on January 6th. And again, he goes on, many of them were released from jail and awaiting trial. Most of the January 6th defendants are being denied due process, held without bail, yet they have been convicted of a crime and languished in solitary confinement as misdemeanors charges as they lose their livelihoods, waiting month after month after month for a crooked and corrupt judge and jury and crooked and Washington District of Crime to begin to adjudicate their cases. Some, including the Proud Boys leaders, Army veteran Joe Biggs and former GOP congressional candidate Enrique Tarrio, never stepped foot on the Capitol building but faced sedition charges and 20 years plus prison sentence as persecutors charged them with devising the insurrection. There was an insurrection, but it was by Nancy Pelosi, and it was by Chuckie Schumer and the very, very Merrick Garland, the very, very corrupt Merrick Garland and Chris Wray and those. That's who was behind this insurrection, folks. Three of the January 6th defendants have killed themselves while subjected to inhuman living conditions in jail and shamed to death for participating in the protests. The corporate media, the very, very corrupt fake news media and establishment politicians compare to 9/11. The Capitol Hill police officers that murdered 36-year-old Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, and those were very, very corrupt. Two racist cops, and 34-year-old Roseanne Boylan in cold blood on that fateful day have yet to be charged with crimes. Two very corrupt, racist, cowardly, dirty cops. The homicidal cops have been awarding after killing Trump supporters in broad daylight. Some days living with tragic loss of their only daughter is too much to bear, but Ashley Babbitt's mother, Mickey Withoff, continues to fight for justice every day. Joe, you had an article you wanted to hit.
Well, first I just had one comment to that. I wonder why no lawyer has stepped up and tried to take it to the Supreme Court, try to sue the D.C. jail for the inhumane treatment, the unconstitutional treatment. It seems like nobody on our side, none of the attorneys are stepping forward and taking this and bringing lawsuits. I can't find any evidence of that anywhere. I was looking for it.
Well, it's because you've seen what happened to Trump's attorneys and that, the secret police, the Gestapo.
Go after them.
Yeah.
That was what you call, I was giving you a softball pitch there. Hey, you know, you have been proven right again. Remember, you were warning the people about Fox News, right?
Yeah.
You really couldn't count on Fox News. Disgusting. Former Fox producer drops bombshell on the network. Brianna Morello, she left the Fox Corporation when the corporation forced employees to receive the COVID vax, and she dropped the bombshell when she claimed that the Fox Corporation was paid by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to promote the jabs on air. Many people at Fox were upset. Nobody wants to talk about it, she said. But the company did take the HHS money and did force us to comply with the vaccine mandates that were already deemed illegal by the Supreme Court when Joe Biden tried to implement them. She noted Tucker Carlson is starting to question the official pro-vaccine government narrative, but says almost too late. I can only speak to what we went through. They gave us hell for this, so I am glad he's speaking out now. I know that this isn't going to sit well with the executives. And so she said she played a clip of Sean Hannity where Sean says he does encourage an audience to get the vaccine, and he doesn't disclose the fact that his network was paid to promote the vax. And so she comes down pretty hard on Fox News, including some of the big people there. And she's talking about everybody backed away from this. They called us crazy, those that wanted to fight it. And so we got somebody speaking out that was inside as a Fox producer. And there were several others that are pretty unhappy. Maybe more of them will come out now that they've heard her be brave enough to come out in public and speak.
All right, very good. Joe, you know, again, there's still people are dropping dead every day. We've been trying to warn people over and over and over. It's called the mass culling of the human herd is now underway, where that's exactly how it's being accomplished, to achieve mass extermination through vaccines, through abortion, through euthanasia. And that's what's happening out there now. Globalists see humanity as cattle or sheep to be exploited for as long as needed, the then called like cattle herds when they no longer are useful. As globalist advisor Yuval Harari is now saying the age of humans is coming to an end on planet Earth, and the globalists have activated a multifaceted plan to cleanse the planet of all human beings. Okay. If someone,
better,
you know, well,
all, they think there'll be a few survivors. When they say all, they mean all of the unnecessary eaters.
Everyone but them, yeah.
Yeah.
They want to, what they're talking about, you know, they made it clear they want to reduce the population to 500 million, which is, you know, we're almost at 8 billion right now.
Well, so, you remember on the clips they were talking about the death. I've got an article here from the Independent Sentinel. Unknown cause is the top cause of death in Canada.
Yeah.
So several other countries. They looked at about 3,400 ill-defined and unknown cases. They looked at a group of cases. There were almost 3,400 unknown, and that was higher than anything. But it was interesting. They don't talk about the vax because they had a lot of heart disease, myocardial infraction, pulmonary disease, all the things that we know are attached to, you know, having the vax and taking the poison poke. And so here we have, if you add those up, the unknown causes, the heart problems, 2,000, almost most of all the deaths that they're having look like to me they came from taking the vax in Canada. This is happening in Israel, and it's happening in a couple of countries in Europe. You were just talking about them wanting to reduce their world's population. Well, they keep promoting the vax, and people keep dying, right?
We're absolutely
dying now than back when we had the big COVID infection.
Well, people in Africa and India and other places are refusing to take it, and basically what they're doing right now is they're concentrating on, like, Europeans, white races. They're literally are what genocide on white races now, and so
that's where they're promoting the vax. You're right, Canada,
yep.
England, Germany, France, and the United States, and everybody else is trying to run like the devil away from the vaccine.
All righty, here we go. If someone were to have some sick, twisted desire to kill off a herd of cattle, they could simply shut off the water and the food. Death would come as a matter of days or weeks at most. The same is happening right now to humans. The water supply is being cut off via geoengineering, causing global droughts and widespread crop failures. Entire cities like Los Angeles and Las Vegas are being threatened with a terminated water supply in the years ahead. The food supply is being decimated by cutting off fertilizer supplies and causing diesel fuel prices. Folks, now everything we're telling you is absolutely true. You will not hear this on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. Now they have advertisers. They've got Big Pharma. Big Pharma is spending billions of bucks keeping. This is why, if you watch them, why they will not tell you about all the deaths, even when their own die. Even when their own die, they will not tell you, because look who's advertising, who's spending the money. You see,
yeah.
This commercial brought to you by who? By
Big Pharma.
Big Pharma.
Well, you mentioned in England they just closed two of the big fertilizer factories because they can't get the natural gas that's needed to make fertilizer. And without fertilizer, right now, all these big farms and the hay fields and the wheat fields and the corn fields, without fertilizer, we're not going to have wheat. We're not going to have corn. We're not going to have soybean. I could go down the list. Oats, rye, barley, you name it. And the amount that the farmers will be able to produce is going to be cut, to me, just tremendously, probably a half to three quarters if they can't get fertilizer. And so we're talking about lack of water. Lack of fertilizer will do as much damage. They cut that off on the energy level by cutting off the natural gas. So you get rid of the fertilizer, you get rid of the water, you get rid of the people, right?
Absolutely, Joe. And, you know, we planted a garden. I hadn't planted a garden in years, but we decided to plant a garden this year. It was like a church garden. And I've never seen so much produce, so much vegetables out of the garden. Now, because of this, because we know there's going to be a cold winter, and we have a number of ladies in the church that know how to can. And so we're going to double the size, and I encourage people out there, you can really raise, if you, it's worth it if you buy an order. What we did is I built up with railroad ties. I built up about 15 feet wide and about 24 feet long and three railroad ties high. And we filled it with topsoil and five-year-old cow manure. And I'm going to tell you, Joe, you wouldn't see. I had tomatoes that were, the size of pineapples. And I mean, it's really growing, and we're giving this food away, fresh vegetables and things. But next year we're planning, should the Lord tarry, should we go through next year to double or triple the size? And we encourage people out there to plan on growing a garden. And there's actually things you can put in now that will come through, the things like Brussels sprouts.
Garden still until you can plant up until the 15th of September for a fall garden in Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about Ohio, but where I live, you can plant up till the 15th.
Well, we're out of time for tonight. So, Joe, we get to this. This is the most important part of the program as we get to what we're talking about, the message tonight. God is going to come, and he's going to cancel the cancel culture. Big Pharma is going to be gone. And as we go through here, we're going to see how God's word, the Bible, so accurately and so prophetically describes what's coming our way. But we all know this. Again, the accuracy of God's word, the Bible, is perfect. It's perfect.
Perfect.
The only thing that we can absolutely count on, Joe, in our world today, that's the one thing, there's only one ultimate authority, and that's the word of God. See, not everybody believes that, okay? Especially a lot of your younger people, they haven't been around long enough to see what we've seen, know what we know. But they will believe, again, because we know that there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. And as we continue, we know what to expect. You and I know what to expect, what's coming. We know about the tribulation period. We know what it's going to be like. We know that there are those that are actually saved, but they're not looking for the Lord's return. They think that the church should go through the tribulation periods, but they're not looking for his return. And many of them will have to go through at least part of it, the tribulation period.
Tells us we are to be ever watchful for his return, for we know not when he comes.
For those of us that know and are looking for his return, we will be out of here. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to go through persecution. That's happening right now. It always has. The church always has.
Right.
But we will not go through.
Since Christ was born.
But we will not go through
after his birth, right?
We will not go through the wrath of God. This is what the Bible tells us. So, folks, we got to make it very clear for you here. The bottom line is you need to call upon the name of the Father. Pray to God the Father. Pray to God the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. Do it tonight. And then, well, I guess it's almost tomorrow. And then ask the Lord Jesus to be Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you do that, God will honor that commitment if you mean it. And you will be a new creature, born-again believer, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you've got God's word on that. Well, we're out of time.
Happier than you've ever been.
So, as we say at this time, every night at this time as we get here, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always,
keep
fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.